If you are a woman who is navigating a divorce and you just don't know how to feel, I have the right person for you. This is the episode because I got Mike Fink here, and he created the Decoding Grid. He's the author of Divorce Decision Decoded, and he helps women get clarity and certainty within 30 freaking days. You're going to love this conversation because not only does he have this conversation, he actually gives you all of the map and the tools that you need to get this done. Phenomenal conversation. You're going to love this. I can't wait to hear what you think.
What's up, y'all? I want you to buckle up today because this is going to be a phenomenal conversation. We are joined today with Mike Fink. He's a world-renowned clarity and decision-making expert. And you know what, guys? He has helped over 110,000 people in over 157 countries achieve life-changing goals. So y'all better listen up. Go grab a pen, go grab a pad, something, all right? All right, with a Master of Science in Psychology from Yale, Mike specializes in guiding women through the tough and often intimidating decision around divorce. I've been divorced, so I know how that feels. Promising clarity and certainty in 30 days or less. Now, he is the creator of the Decoding Grid and the author of Divorce Decisions Decoded. It's the revolutionary guide for women to get clarity and certainty in 30 days. Y'all better listen. All right, so get ready to learn all these secrets of decisive transformation. Welcome, Mike, to the show. I really appreciate you being here. How are you?
I'm doing awesome, Nima. Thank you. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you for being here. I mean, I don't think I've had this kind of conversation in the show yet. We do talk a lot about life and life transitions and all that kind of stuff, but I haven't had an expert in this field, especially because you're telling us in 30 days or less and all this great stuff. And so I do want to get to know you a little bit though, Mike. So tell us a little bit about who you are.
So I'll tell you the part that connects most with what I'm going to be sharing today. So okay. I was in investment banking and management consulting, and then following a family situation, I decided to change careers because I was not fulfilled and I followed my passion. So then I did a master's in psychology at Yale. And after that, I started in a career in personal development, where, as you said, I help many people achieve their goals. And my career spanned about two decades. And the first part of the decade was great. The second was, let's call that mitigated, because that's when I decided to join forces and become 50-50 partner with another gentleman. And at first, things were great, you know, things were working fine. But after 5 years, the market changed and we needed to make different decisions and to make some important choices where we wanted to take the business. And that's when things started to get really bad, because it became really obvious and apparent that we had conflicting values, that my vision and his vision was not aligned, that we wanted different things out of life, that we wanted different things for our customers. And this is where my descent to hell began, because that's when I started having more and more points of frictions, arguments, and most of all, I was stuck in indecision. And I will tell more about how it happened and how it led me to where I am today. But this is kind of the framework. So if you want me to expand more on that origin story, I'll be more than happy. But it was really a pivotal moment in my life and personal experience that made me shift life mission to where I am today.
Yeah. I mean, was the business with the partner that you had in personal development as well, or was it something different?
No, it was. And that was also actually, that's a great question, because it was also part of the conflict. Part of it was, it started on personal development, but then he wanted to take it in different directions, still related to well-being, but not so much on the psychological front. And the thing is that when you have different values, different visions, obviously you start to argue. And it got to a point where we were screaming so much at one another that my throat or my voice would be hoarse. We would be screaming in front of our employee, which I felt very ashamed about. But the worst part was, you know, not even the sleepless nights, but it was the fact that I was stuck in a relationship that obviously didn't work. I was unhappy in it. I was making compromises more and more on things that were important to me. But the biggest problem I was facing wasn't so much being in an unhappy relationship. It was, what do I do about it? The indecision. Right. Should I stay or should I go? Because, and I can say this having been through that myself, there is a real daily cost of indecision. When we are stuck in a situation where we don't know what to do and we keep flicking back and forth between the pros and cons, our brain seeks closure. It wants resolution. And when it cannot have it, it goes on overdrive. And it became to a point that this was all that I was thinking about. Is it my fault? Is it maybe his fault? What if it is his fault, but then I will have to sell an asset to buy him out? Will I be able to start from scratch?
Right.
I was worried about the financial consequences. I couldn't sleep. I was always withdrawing because it was taking such a mental toll, also on a personal level, in terms of my self-esteem, because I'm a smart guy, you know, I mean, at least on paper. Right. And yet I wasn't able to figure that out. And it came to a point where I burned out. And, you know, I'm saying those personal things because I believe that many women who are considering divorce are stuck. And I know that because I speak with many of them. They're stuck in this, like, should I stay or should I go? And it's eating them alive. You know, I say that indecision or the pain of indecision is in a way like chronic pain. Some days are better. Some days are worse, but overall, the quality of life is miserable. And because I went through that, I was like, oh my goodness, I'm not sure what to do. By the way, you mentioned you were divorced. So did you go through some maybe similar stages before actually pulling the trigger?
Yeah, I did. You know, I'm divorced. Well, it's been a long time now, right? I've been married now 27 years to my now husband. But then it wasn't. He was serial other womanizer, you know? So it was, I didn't know that until after the divorce, but it was difficult because I had kids and, you know, my children, I mean, he would manipulate them into saying, oh, mommy should come back with me and that kind of thing. So it was a very difficult time and I didn't know what to do. So I did go back to the marriage and was completely miserable. It didn't last at all because I couldn't do it. I was unhappy. So it was difficult because I had the weight of my children and their well-being. You know, so that was a very difficult time. And I think that that's what a lot of women go through if they have children, especially, right?
Absolutely.
Or even if they're financially tied to this person. So it could be very, very difficult divorce. And I know you talked about, or at least when I introduced you, I talked about how you help women do, you know, kind of like get clarity on that in like 30 days or less, right? And I'm wondering, I know you're going to take us through this, but I'm just wondering, like, where even somebody would start? What would even be the first step for someone that wants, you know, because feeling stuck and overwhelmed, being like you went through it as well, is not easy to pull yourself out of sometimes because you feel stuck and overwhelmed. So talk to me about that and how you like kind of just made that decision and started moving forward.
So great that you're asking this, and no worries, I will spill all the beans and I have exactly step-by-step instructions or ideas or guidance for people who want to take those next step. Just to finish on my personal story, so it came so bad that I couldn't sleep at night, and then thankfully I hit my 50th birthday, and that's when I did a life review. And when I looked at my life, I saw that, like everybody, I made mistakes, but the big decisions, I got them right, except for two of them. One was with being in a partnership with this person. And I realized that, you know, I had always applied a decision-making process before getting my big decisions right, but for some reason I didn't do it with this decision. And when I decided to apply my own medicine, I went from confusion, anxiety, burnout, to feeling relieved, to having my head aligned with my heart, aligned with my gut. I knew what the right decision was, which was to finish the relationship. I had to sell an asset to be able to buy him out. So I was depleted financially, but all those challenges I was able to face with equanimity because I was at peace with myself. I knew what I wanted to do, but I felt good about it on all levels. And I knew how to explain it to myself and to others. And it all makes sense. I knew I could live with the decision until the end of my life with no regret. And then, you know, kind of the universe has a funny way. My spouse's brother was a doctor. He had been stuck in indecision for the previous 2 years in terms of some very important career decisions. He had nausea when he was thinking about it. And to make a long story short, in 2 hours, I took him from complete confusion, anxiety, nausea, to knowing exactly what he should do, clarity, relief, and peace of mind. And he told me, Mike, it's incredible. It was as if I had been stuck in dark pitch or pitch dark black in a room where I was bumping against furniture and hearing myself. And then you just turn the flip, the light switch on, and now I can see.
Wow, wow.
And that's when I knew I was onto something, and that's when I changed my life mission. And since I had gone through the pain of divorce, indecision in the business relationship, divorce is one of the toughest decisions a human being can make. And that's how I shifted my mission towards helping women. So this is to bring closure. Now, I'm passionate. I know the time is limited. So let me give you the first thing in terms of what the next steps are. In order to solve a problem, you need to understand what the real cause is. And as shocking as it may sound, most women are not in a position to make a decision as to whether to divorce or not, unless they address the real gatekeeper of that decision. What is that real gatekeeper? So right now, and I'm going to describe this for you, all your listeners, I'm holding a mock-up of a brain in my hand. And the reality is that we don't have one brain, we have three brains. And you can think about it for your listeners as a scoop where you have three layers of ice cream layered on one on top of the other. And the first layer, the very bottom at the base of the brain, it's called the primal brain, the old brain, the reptilian brain. Have you heard those terms before?
Yes, I have.
Okay. And this is important. Why? Because this part of the brain is the one that was first created 500 million years ago when there were dinosaurs around. And this part of your brain is in charge of your survival. And this is really important. Now, survival is everything because from an evolutionary point of view, your brain says, you know what? Survival is the most important thing. Happiness is optional. So think about divorce. Whenever you're facing a decision that has such a high cost of failure, meaning if you get it wrong, it will cost you dearly, yourself, your kids, on all fronts, psychologically, financially, socially, professionally. I mean, it's pervasive. And usually it gets worse before it gets better. So in that case, the primal brain says, you know what, Nina, before you make that decision, you'd better be absolutely certain it is the right decision because the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. So yes, you may be unhappy in your current relationship, but you know, you've been surviving so far, whereas the unknown is the unknown. So this is the real gatekeeper, and biology is stacked against us. Most people have heard about the fight or flight response.
Right.
That's the old brain, but there's also the freeze response.
Freeze.
Yes. And people are paralyzed whenever they have to make such a high stake decisions like divorce. Does that make sense so far?
Absolutely.
Okay. So first thing I would say, if you have been stuck in divorcing decision, don't blame yourself. It's just biology and the way it works. It's not because you're not a smart woman or a smart person. Now, the second layer of our brain has to do with the emotion. It's the emotional brain. It came 200 million years ago. And the last part of our brain, it's the most recent addition, 2 to 3 million years ago, it's the rational brain. That part of the brain is in charge of logic, of language, and of reasoning. But listen to this. Because the primal brain that is in charge of your decision evolved first before the last part that is in charge of language, pay attention to this, Nina. It means it does not understand language. It does not understand words. And I have a question for you. How do most people try to make a decision when they're considering divorce, whether it's with their friends, with therapy, with marriage counseling? What do they use?
Well, they use words, of course.
Yes, yes. And you know what? Words are important because you need to have a certain level of certainty on a logical level, but they're not enough. It's just one third of the brain. Once you have that certainty, you need to be able to communicate it to your primal brain that does not understand language. And I'll tell you later. In fact, I'll have you come up with the answer in terms of the best way to do that. But
can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
Because I'm writing as you're going, because this is so good. Okay. So do you consider the primal brain what a lot of us call the subconscious brain or the subconscious mind?
I would not necessarily say that. You know, I mean, the brain is a very complicated thing. It's called the triune brain model, which is a simplification, but it has a basis in reality. It's very scientifically proven that we have those different parts of the brain. So for our purpose, I would just say that the primal brain is in charge of our survival. It is, yes, in an unconscious level, because, for example, if you walk on the grass and there's a stick, but your primal brain thinks it's a snake, you will jump up before even realizing consciously what happened. So in that sense, yes, it's unconscious, but I would rather distinguish it as the primal brain is in charge of our survival.
Okay.
The emotional brain in charge of emotions and the rational brain in charge of those quote unquote superior functions, but it's a separate part of the brain, not in charge of the divorce decision. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yes, it does.
Okay. So the next question is then, if that's the truth, what is the antidote to not being stuck in the status quo? Because unless you have certainty, then you'll be stuck there. And the antidote is certainty. But how do you get certainty? And this is where I have developed this process that I call the decoding grid, is this neuroscience-based framework that aligns the head, the heart with the gut to get clarity and certainty in 30 days or less. Now, I'll show you step-by-step how it works, and it will show you why it can be so fast. Because if you think about a safe at a bank, even if a safe has been locked for 30 years, once you know the proper combination, you can unlock it in seconds, right?
Yep.
So this is the answer to how calm you can do it makes it fast. And the other analogy that I have is, for your listeners, I have two Rubik's Cubes in my hand. So one is completely jumbled and the other one is solved. And you have one in your hand too. That's so cute. That's perfect. And I use this analogy to say that people who are confused and don't know what to do, it's like this jumbled cube. But let me ask you this. Are any pieces missing in this jumbled cube in order to for you to be able to solve it? No.
No.
All the pieces are there. All you need to do is to put them in the right sequence, in the right order. So I have discovered that it's the same thing for us to make tough, life-changing decisions. We already have the elements of our answer. We just need to put them in the right order.
Yeah.
So step number one is considering all the pieces of the puzzle. I call this value mapping. So Nina, time's running by so quickly and I have so much to share, but nevertheless.
No worries. No worries. We got this.
Okay. Whenever you think about buying a car, what are some things that are important to you in buying a car?
For me, it's sometimes the age, the mileage, and because I usually buy used cars. So the age, the mileage, and the body, making sure that it looks decent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What about fuel economy? Do you care about that?
Yeah, I care about fuel economy, sure.
What about storage space? Do you want to have like a large trunk where you can put a lot of stuff, or you? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What about design or color? Do you care about that?
Not really. Not really.
Okay, so you have safety, reliability, gas, gas consumption, storage space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's good that you have this kind of awareness and clarity in terms of what is important to you, because otherwise, what are your chances of picking up a good car, or even of being able to assess is a used car, if a used car that a car dealer shows you, it's a good one for you or not?
Right, right.
Right? You need to know what's important to you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even though I'm using this car analogy, it is relevant for assessing your relationship, because all our decisions are value-driven decisions. There are some things that are important to us. When they're all fulfilled, we're happy. When none of them are fulfilled, obviously we're happy. But the problem is when some of them are fulfilled, but not others, that's when this pros and cons then happens, right? Ah, I'm unhappy, yes, but maybe I should leave. Yeah, but what about the finances? Bang, bing, bang, bing, bang. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yes, it does. Mm-hmm.
So I have a question for you. We talked about five or six things when buying a car. How many things do you believe are important on average for a person when they are thinking about their ideal partner, or when they're thinking about their relationship? How many values do you think people have on average?
I mean, it depends, right? That's very interesting. That's a good question. Maybe, I don't know, because some women have a list of 100 things. So, but I think it's just a few, honestly. If it's a decent person, maybe looks, values, like whether they are a person of faith or not. You know, that kind of thing. So maybe I would say 10 to 20.
You know, that's what most people actually guess. And the reality is that for most people, they have between 20 to 30 things that are important to them. And, you know, it may sound like a lot. And for your listeners, if that sounds like a lot to you, it's a sure sign that you don't have all the pieces of the puzzle.
Right.
And that's the first step that you need to do, because you're not going to solve a jigsaw puzzle that has 1,000 pieces if you're holding only 200 pieces in your hand.
That's
so step number one is gathering all the pieces of the puzzle. So what I do is I help my clients, and what I encourage your listeners to do is list down all the things that are important to you in your relationship. What do you like about your relationship? What don't you like about your relationship? And take the opposite. What are some pros and cons of staying versus leaving? And how does that relate to some values that are important in your relationship? What maybe did you like in past relationships? Really take the time to write down all the things that are important to you, because Otherwise, you won't have the pieces of the puzzle necessary to get clarity. And I remember this client, Felicia, she was focusing on just one thing, which was her husband had cheated on her. And she found out later that he had cheated on her even when she was pregnant. And he cheated multiple times. Then he finally, it came to the light. He was attending a sex addiction group to try to stop. But she found out he was cheating again. She was devastated, as you can imagine. But he was such an amazing dad. And in her mind all day long was, I cannot do this anymore. But he's an amazing dad. Bing, bong, merry-go-round, right? It's only when I help her expand her view and consider all the pieces of the puzzle that she was able to truly assess her relationship for what it was. So step number one, value mapping, gather all the pieces of the puzzle.
That's really good.
Perfect.
Really good.
Mm-hmm. Now, the next step is, okay, now I know what's important to me, but is that enough? And I'm going to ask you a question so that we can find the answer together. So let's imagine that you are looking for your dream house and there are 20 things that you want in your dream house. And one day a friend of yours comes and says, Nina, I have found your house. It has 19 things out of 20. That's 95% of the things that you're looking for. Is that a good thing or not?
I think it's a good thing.
You know what? That's what most people do. And let me ask you this. What if the one thing missing is that the house is in a different city and state from where you want to live?
Ah, okay. So it's the level of importance.
Yes, absolutely. I have a saying, which is values are not an equal vote democracy. They are a military hierarchy. It doesn't matter how many of your values are being fulfilled. What matters is which ones are being fulfilled because they're not created
equal. Yeah.
Some
That's
more
good.
Important than others.
That's
Does
good.
That make sense?
Yes,
okay.
Very.
So step number two is what I call categorized ranking. And it's really taking all the 20 to 30 values. And I lead my clients through a step-by-step process because when you have so many values, it's not easy to order them if you don't know how to. But it's really go from the most important one to the least important one. And then distinguish which ones are essential values versus optional values.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And this is key because this is the only way for you to know what you can and cannot compromise on.
That's so good, right? Your non-negotiables.
That's one way to put it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why I say that a lot of women or couples who go to do marriage counseling, if they do not have this clarity beforehand, it's like putting the horse before the cart because they may go there, they may say, I'm unhappy about this, and then their husband may make efforts. And then it only can make things worse because then he will have make efforts, he will have change. But if he changed on things that were optional, not the real needle movers, the essential ones, then you will be in a worse position because now you have the added guilt if you want to divorce that. Well,
right,
he made efforts.
Right.
It makes it worse, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to distinguish between essential versus optional. And I had this client, her name was Tracy. She had a husband who was messy. And one of the things for her was that she wanted a husband who was tidy. And she was so aggravated by the fact that he would always leave the clothes on the floor, never put them in the laundry basket, leave the dirty dishes in the kitchen sink for 3 days, even though he had promised he would wash them. It would drive her nuts. And as a result, she would constantly nag him. And she thought, you know, this is terrible. This relationship is not working. But when I guided her through the process, what really astonished her is that she had 22 things that were important to her. And it turned out, Nina, that having a tidy husband was number 22 out of 23.
right. But the one thing she was focused in noticing, right?
Yes. So not only that value was optional, it was the second to last. Now, why didn't she notice? Well, it's because as human beings, we have a very hard time understanding our own emotions and we're not taught how to do this properly. So what happened? She was unhappy in her relationship for a number of reasons. But since she could not articulate those reasons properly, she would look at her environment. She knew that she wanted a tidy husband, and therefore she would take the most obvious environmental cues to explain her unhappiness. Oh, I must feel so bad in this relationship because he's constantly messy.
That's so good.
But
That's
the
so
reality
good.
Is that there were some other things. And when she was able to understand that, that enabled her to understand what the real points of leverage were to actually focus on to save her relationship. So step
That's
number
so
two, categorized ranking, most important, least important, essential versus optional. Does that make
so
sense?
Good. Yeah, very. Yeah.
Okay. Step number three. So all this is geared to give you what I called logical clarity, which is the third layer of your brain, the rational one, the one that understands language and so on. But how do we communicate that level of certainty? Because this would enable you to assess whether your relationship can work or not, meaning, are my essentials fulfilled, at least acceptably? Because if yes, then that means I can make it long-term. Or if some of the essentials are not fulfilled, I know what to work on to save it. But if the answer is no, you know, there are too many essentials that are not being fulfilled, then it's never going to work. But how do we communicate that to the real gatekeeper of your brain, which is your primal brain? We just not understand language or words. So let me guide you through a thought experiment so that you come up with your own answer. Do you have any children, Nina?
I do.
Do you mind sharing what their age is or what is right now?
Yeah. So I have a blended family. So I have two and two. So my two are 36 and 30. Mm-hmm. And my stepchildren are 33 and 26.
Wow. Okay. So they're adult children. So yeah. Let's go back in time a little bit. And let's say that you have one of your child was, 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. And you find out that your child is being bullied at school. You would be upset, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So here's a thought experiment. I'm going to give you four different ways for you to find out that they're being bullied at school. So the first one is a friend of yours comes and says, you know what? Your 12-year-old is being bullied at school, but you don't know what the bully looks like. You would be upset, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Scenario number two, a person comes and tells you, Nina, your 12-year-old is being bullied at school, but this time you know what the bully looks like, who the bully is and what the bully looks like. Are you less upset, equally upset, or more upset?
I think I'm equally upset.
Okay. Scenario number three, a person comes and shows you pictures of your 12-year-old being bullied by another kid at school.
Oh, now I'm pissed.
Okay. So Scenario number four, you drive to school to pick your 12-year-old from school, you get off the car, and then you witness with your own eyes your 12-year-old being bullied by another kid.
Yeah, you're going to have to hold me back, I think, at that point.
Okay. So isn't that interesting, though? Because obviously you got more and more angry as I went with the four scenarios. But the interesting piece of information is that from a logical standpoint, it was the exact same piece of information. Your 12-year-old is being bullied at school. What was different in the scenarios that I described?
Witnessing it, seeing
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing it. Exactly. You got it. Your primal brain does not understand words, but it understands visual language. And in fact, I say that it feels it when it sees it. That's a good soundbite. And this also explains why whenever you watch a movie where you logically know that it has a happy ending, but yet, have you seen the movie The Notebook?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you know logically that Ali and Noah, they will end up together and spend the rest of their life together. But for the first 2 hours of the movie, they go through struggles. There's uncertainty. And emotionally, you go through the same struggles, even though logically you know it's going to be fine. Why? Because your primal and emotional brain, they only feel it when they see it, when they see the happy ending at the end. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, okay. It does. Mm-hmm.
So step number three is relationship decoding. And this is one of the huge things that I have innovated with my decoding grid is presenting the assessment of your relationship in a visual way that your primal brain can understand. Because if you think about traditional solutions, they only use language. So even though I have a lot of clients who tell me, my therapist thinks I should divorce, my marriage counselor thinks I should divorce, they may even agree with them logically, but it doesn't matter. It's just words. Unless their primal brain is on board, they will feel this emotional resistance. So the way to overcome that is to take all the information that we created before as a decoding grid, meaning we take all the values that have been ranked by order of importance. We take out all the essentials and we use visual contrast. So we put them in bold, in a dark yellow area. The optional values are outside of that area and they're not bolded. And now immediately visually, this is the thing that I should pay attention to because it's essential. The other one is optional. And then we go one by one and we assess every single value in terms of does your relationship or does your spouse fulfill this value or not? And we use a green marker with a check mark if it's fully fulfilled, because what does green mean for the brain? It means go, right? It's good. We use a blue marker if it's acceptably fulfilled, because blue is more of a neutral color. And we use a red marker with an exclamation mark if it's not fulfilled. What does red mean for the brain? Stop. Go, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So visually, your brain and your primal brain understands this. And once you go through all the values one by one, you have a holistic assessment of your relationship. And you can immediately assess the state of health. And you look, obviously, at your essentials. You say, what does it look like? Am I in the green area more? Am I in the blue area, in the red area? How many blues? How many greens? How many reds? And that immediately enables you to understand whether this relationship can be saved or not. And I have this example of Kate. So Kate was a successful real estate and she had been married for 25 years. And for the previous 5 years, she had been struggling. Should I stay or should I go? She had a daughter. She didn't know how her decision would affect her daughter. And, you know, a lot of my clients tell me, I wish my husband was a jerk. And why? Because if the husband was such a terrible person, then for the primal brain in charge of their survival, it would know right away, you know, it's more dangerous to stay than to leave. The problem is when it's not that clear cut, when there are pros and cons. Right. Mm-hmm. And she kept thinking, you know, he's good on this, but he's bad at this. And when we did the assessment, it turned out that she had 14 things that were essential to her out of 22. And overall, out of 22, her husband fulfilled 15 out of 22.
Wow.
The problem was that out of the sevens that were not fulfilled, they were all in the essential area.
Ah.
And four out of her top five were not fulfilled. Like four out of her top five were in red. And there was a huge aha moment because she was like, now I get it. Okay, now I understand why I've been so unhappy. It's not that he's a bad person. It's just that even though he has a lot of qualities, but those things that are really, really important to me are not being fulfilled. And as we said, with the example of the dream house, not all values are created equal. And that's why she had this point of pain. So this process has two advantages. Number one, it really enables you to understand what the points of leverage are if you are to save the relationship. So you know what to focus on without wasting time on things that don't matter. And then it also enables you to understand, you know, is it reasonable for me to expect for my spouse to make that many changes? And the answer varies on several factors. You know, I don't have time to go into that. But this really gives you clarity immediately on a gut level in terms of, yes, I can save my relationship and it's worthwhile for me to give it a go and I know what to focus on. Or, you know what, now I have peace of mind that I know that even with all the best intentions in the world, this will never work. And I know that the best decision is for me to move on. And you get this on the head, on the heart, on the gut, because now all the three brains are aligned. You know it logically, you feel it emotionally, you feel it intuitively. You can explain your decision to yourself, to others, to your kids, to your spouse, while looking them in the eye, because you just know deep within that it is the right decision.
That's really brilliant. And, you know, I'm listening to you speak and I'm thinking, this can be applied to so many areas of your life, right? Because yes, you specialize in the divorce and helping women, you know, in 30 days to like get clarity on what it is they're going to do. And I think that's vital and very, very important. It really is. I wish I had that when I was getting divorced 27 years ago, because that was a very tumultuous time for me. And I think even from the beginning, I knew my values weren't being met. I knew they weren't, but I got married anyway. And it was a tumultuous, hard and good marriage back and forth, you know, type of thing. But I would have made more clearer decisions, you know? And so I love what you're doing. I really admire it. And I'm thinking to myself how this can be really applied also to people who are entrepreneurs, for people who are getting into partnerships, for people who are leveraging their career, maybe even relationships with your children. Like maybe the things that they're doing are irritating you, but that's not what's important. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's things that are important. Like this is brilliant, Mike. Honestly, this is brilliant, right? And just a great way to help someone navigate life, right? Because it is our brain. I mean, it's there. It is what it is. But I'm just like thinking, like as you're talking, I'm just thinking, wow, how can we apply this to like every area?
That's such a good comment, Nina, and you're already a step ahead of me. And yes, you're absolutely 100% right. And I even mentioned that at the beginning of the book is, yes, this book is about the divorce decision because it's one of the toughest decisions a human being can make, but it can be applied to any tough life-changing decision. Any decision that is complex, meaning there's a large number of variables to consider, and where there is high stakes or high cost of failure if you get it wrong. So yes, you know, one of my wishes that I have is to work with women who are having cold feet before their wedding so mm-hmm. that they could actually be sure to make the right decision or not. Because otherwise, I mean, calling off a wedding, it's a big thing. And unless you have absolute clarity and certainty, your primal brain will say, you know, when in doubt, wait it out. So that's one area of application. It's the same steps. Value mapping, gather all the pieces of the puzzle, categorize ranking from the most important to the least important, what's essential, what's optional, and then display that in a way that your primal brain can understand. You can apply that to career choice. I mean, another thing is for a lot of career executives or people in the C-suite, you know, sometimes they're offered a job somewhere else. And if they get it wrong, it could be a career killer, right? But at the same time, they're considering it. And this is another way where I can guide people through the same exact step, because as I mentioned when I used the car dealership analogy, all decisions that we make are value-driven decisions. So you need mm-hmm. to understand your values, to understand mm-hmm. how important they are relative to one another, and then display that information in a way that all your brain can understand. And you can apply this to whether you want to get into a business relationship with someone, what's important to you in a business relationship?
Yeah.
Whether you want to hire a person, what's important to you in having that specific employee? Whether you want to, you know, should I buy this house or not? Tomorrow I'm going to work with a couple and they are in California. The house is safe, but because of the fires, they're seriously considering, should I move out of California or not? And they're lost. So I'm going to help them with that process. It's the same basic process with some nuances, obviously, but it's always understanding what's important to you, in what order of importance, what's essential, what's optional, and how to display that in a way that all parts of your brain can agree on.
Yeah. Because, thank you for explaining all of that, really. And for telling, you know, for like showing us the map of the brain and how that actually works. Because a lot of times the primal brain takes over, right? And fear comes in and you literally do feel paralyzed. There's so many times where I'm going to make a decision instead of just quickly making a decision. Fear comes in. Well, it's not going to work. You shouldn't do that. It's going to cost you a lot of money. All of these things happen. And then I have to do like an integration process. Why is fear saying that to you? Okay. Fear saying that to you because it wants to keep you safe and blah, blah, blah. And you know, then why is your other brain saying that's how I do it. I do like an integration mm-hmm. process, but I love the way you explained it because it just makes tons of sense to me. Especially since I've been learning a lot more about like neuroscience and the brain and all that. And it's such a fascinating thing. And you can also apply this to weight loss. You can apply this to your health journey. Like, damn, Mike, you got a lot of books you have to keep writing. You know what?
There's a saying, you can do anything, but you cannot do everything. So I decided to start with divorce. But what you say is so true. I mean, even like, what, you know, should I do? I love sports. I am into snowkiting, snowboarding. Like, but maybe I have an injury. I have another commitment. It's like, should I do this weekend or not? And even for the smallest things, when I go through this process, which I apply pretty much everything, seeing it visually color-coded, just, okay, now I'm at peace with it.
It's not
that you cannot make decisions without this process, but when you see it this way, it's like, oh, now I'm aligned. Yeah. That's it. No more discussion. Yeah.
That makes so much sense because when I look at my calendar, that's how I do it. Red, you know, I got like red means like it's important. I have to take care of it. There's a couple of blues in there. There's a couple of greens. And that's so interesting. I never thought about it though, about the way you're mapping it out, right? But it's true. Like when I have my calendar and I'm looking at what's important and vital, like yours was red today because it's important and I had to get on this call. And so it immediately pops off the page and I know, oh yes, that's priority. I got to get that done. Brilliant, Mike. Brilliant. You are a brilliant man. I am glad you came on. Thank you so much for being on here with me. But before I wrap up, because I took you longer than I said I would, but you're such a fascinating human being. I just want people to know how to reach you and get to know you because I really believe there's a lot of breakthrough to be done with working with you. So give us that information. How do people work with you, get your book, like all of that stuff?
Thank you. So if you want to get absolute clarity, go to getabsoluteclarity.com. That's three words, getabsoluteclarity.com. That's my website. You'll find a link at the top that says get the book. It will take you to the right place in Amazon to get the book if you want to get the book. You'll also find more information about how you could work with me and how I could help you in making this stuff, life-changing decisions. That's the best place to get more resources. It's getabsoluteclarity.com.
thank you so much for being here and being on the podcast and sharing all of this wisdom, because I was taking tons of notes. I have so many notes. And I'm like, I don't usually do that, but I just felt like this was so fascinating. Thank you so much for the work that you do and for helping people. Because right now, being burnt out and overwhelmed is like the theme. And we need to stop that. We need to stop that, right? It's a new year. It's time to get like your mind getting in the right direction. And you're giving us practical freaking tools to get it done and not like, you know, type of stuff like I'm going to wish it away and it'll happen. No, I'm somebody who likes that, like logical and practical. And I like to look at things and thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for having me and for allowing me to express my life mission, because this is truly a revolutionary process. I'm saying so myself, but I really believe it is. And, you know, my goal now is to make so that as many people as possible can transform their life and make tough life-changing decisions in a way that they feel good about for the rest of their lives. So thank you for allowing me to do this.
Absolutely. Guys. Good, right? I know, that was so good. I have so many notes. Okay, I'm going to make sure to list all of Mike's information below to getabsoluteclarity.com, because come on, guys. Like, come on, right? Like, oh man, when I have an expert on the show and somebody who is absolutely amazing, and I know a lot of you listen, and I've also known that a lot of you work with people who have been on the show. So I know that Mike is definitely going to be somebody you guys are reaching out to. And I really, really appreciate when you guys do that. So make sure you like, share, and like subscribe to this, because this is like the kind of conversations I love to have. And really share this with someone who you know could be going through a life-altering decision like that and just doesn't know where to begin, right? Because there is a beginning point to this. They don't have to feel alone. They don't have to feel distracted. They don't have to feel burnt out. We can really help, especially since he might drop so many gems, but just the fact that you can go and grab his book and talk to him and work with him is brilliant. So guys, thank you guys for being here. This is Nina Perez, Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.